You see them every Sunday. When dressed in their Sunday best, they respectfully make their way into the worship service. They sing the words that are projected on the big screen. They greet one another in the service. They put their money in the offering plate as it passes by. They listen to another message. And when the service is over, they leave. They return home. They tell the preacher that he did a great job, and then they make their way on home, and they take off their church clothes. Forget about God for another week. See, meeting with God has become for them nothing more than listening to messages, singing songs, and placing a token amount in the offering plate. Yet somehow that routine seems to fill their need for reassurance. And because they have been faithful to come to church on occasion, they feel that they are all right, that they have secured a place in heaven. But what a distortion of the message that Jesus taught. Jesus told the religious crowd of his day that even those who appeared to be the most dedicated were at best last in the kingdom and probably would not get in at all. Because they had too much religion and too little relationship with Jesus Christ. So today, as we continue our series in Luke, we're going to be looking at verses 22 through 30 of chapter 13 in a message that is titled, The Narrow Door. See, this message this morning is for those of you who have read and sung and listened to people talk about Jesus for years without ever meeting him personally. For far too long, the church has claimed to be rescuing the perishing, when all we've really been doing is protecting the dying. So our text this morning, you can follow along in your Bibles if you have them. I know Don said it's in the bulletin, so you'll have it there. And we're going to read through the whole thing now, and we'll kind of go back and take it apart and look at it in sections a little bit later. You can follow along up here if you'd like, or just sit and listen. But it reads like this, starting at verse 22. Then Jesus went through the towns and villages, teaching as he made his way to Jerusalem. Someone asked him, Lord, are only a few people going to be saved? He said to them, make every effort to enter through the narrow door, because many, I tell you, will try to enter and will not be able to. Once the owner of the house gets up and closes the door, you will stand outside knocking and pleading, sir, open the door for us. But he will answer, I don't know you or where you come from. Then you will say, we ate and drank with you, and you taught in our streets. But he will reply, I don't know you or where you came from. Away from me, all you evildoers. There will be weeping there and gnashing of teeth. When you see Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and all the prophets of the kingdom of God, but you yourselves thrown out, people will come from east and west and north and south and will take their place at the feast in the kingdom of God. Indeed, there are those who are last who will be first, and first who will be last. You see, as Jesus is walking and making his way to Jerusalem, someone asks him this question, hey, Lord, are only a few people going to be saved? Now, maybe that this man is getting a sense from what Jesus has already said about the kingdom, that salvation is not going to be automatic, or based on some simple genealogy, as some had thought. See, the rabbis had taught the people that God was offering salvation to all those who had been born part of the Jewish race. That this gift of salvation was confirmed by the symbol of circumcision, and it was maintained by the works of the law. See, the average Jew, he took heaven for granted because most Jewish people held the view that all Jews, except for the very worst of them, were going to get into heaven. To the Jews, they were already on the inside. And a few of the Gentiles could make it by becoming Jew as well. But then Jesus came along and he taught over and over that God the Father He offered salvation by grace through faith in Him as the promised Savior. But the world today, it is just as confused as the Jewish people were about how someone gets into heaven. See, there's this growing tendency to believe that all good people, whether or not they consider Jesus Christ to be their Lord and Savior, will live in heaven after they die on earth. Nearly two-thirds of Americans, 64%, believe that they will go to heaven when they die. One in 20 adults, 5% of them, they claim that they will come back in another life form. Well, another 5% say they'll just simply cease to exist. Now, of those people who say that they're going to make it into heaven, nearly half of them, 43 of them, believe that they will go to heaven because they have confessed their sins and accepted Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. However, others, 15% of the people who believe they're going to heaven, say they're going because they've tried to keep the Ten Commandments. Another 15% believe they're going to heaven simply because they've tried to be good. And 6% of those people, they believe that they will get their entrance into heaven simply because God loves all people and will not let them perish. But is it more likely that, like the Jews of Jesus' day, that some of His people are taking getting into heaven for granted? So this morning, I want you to notice with me four things about getting into heaven. The first one is that no one gets into heaven accidentally. Verse 24, Jesus tells them just how difficult it is to get into heaven. He says, make every effort to enter through the narrow door, because many, I tell you, will try to enter and will not be able to. But what does He mean when he says to make every effort to enter? If heaven is a free gift, then what is it we are striving after? Now, Jesus uses the word agnosmoi, which is translated to strive to enter, to strive or to fight or to labor fervently. It is the word that we get our English word agonize from. But Jesus, here He is not describing that one may work their way into heaven, but He is implying that there is a specific route by which one must enter. And then that is why Jesus mentions a narrow door, and then He sets forth what it is. Now, if you were to look at the parallel account, which is found in Matthew chapter 7, it speaks of the narrow way. And it reads like this: enter by the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction, and there are many who go in by it. Because narrow is the gate and difficult is the way which leads to life, and there are few who find it. One will not happen to enter the kingdom of God. One will have to strive after it. You see, there is no one who gets into heaven accidentally. And the road to heaven, it is narrow. Verse 24 also says, make every effort to enter through the narrow door. Now, this word narrow, stenos, is a Greek word that meant restrictive. While a person cannot earn entrance into heaven, there are restrictions on who will get to go. Now, the narrow door, as I understand it in this text, is Jesus Christ Himself, who is the only means of eternal salvation. Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through Him. The only way of entering the kingdom of God is through Jesus. Now, the narrowness of the door suggests an important lesson. If the door is narrow, then few people will pass through it, because they must pass through one at a time. See, you're not going to get to heaven just because your name is on a church roster somewhere, or because your family is part of the Church of God or some other denomination or some other movement. You will not get into heaven on anyone else's coattails. Someone once said to me, God does not have any grandchildren. They're all his children. You will have to answer to God for yourself alone. But what reasons could there be for someone who is trying to enter into the kingdom of God of being ruled out? Well, you see, some people, they try to enter on their own terms. See, not everyone who wants to go to heaven will make it. Only those who will come on God's terms. The entrance to heaven, it is narrow. You must come through the one door, which is Jesus. These are God's terms. And they're the only ones that really count. Being sincere is not enough. Being a good person is not enough. Being religious is not enough. See, many people think that they are going to heaven, but they have not admitted that they are sinners. They have not turned in repentance and trusted in Jesus Christ alone for their salvation. The following illustration will help to explain a little bit of what I'm talking about. Shortly following a Billy Graham crusade in Australia, the newspaper in Melbourne, it printed the following reaction. Listen to this. After hearing Dr. Billy Graham on the air, viewing him on television and reading reports and letters concerning him and his mission, I am heartily sick of the type of religion that insists that my soul and everyone else's needs saving, whatever that means. I have never felt that I was lost, nor do I feel that I am wallowing in the mire of sin, although repetitive preaching insists that I am. Give me a practical religion that teaches gentleness and tolerance, that acknowledges no barriers of color or creed, that remembers the aged and teaches children of goodness and not sin. If in order to save my soul, I must accept such a philosophy as I have recently heard preached, I prefer to remain damned forever. A sad letter. Now, there are also some who will try to enter the kingdom of God by their good works. You see, some people will miss out simply because they have a false view of the nature of God. They believe that God is love and therefore he will let everyone in. And while he is a God of love, he is also a God of justice. And there has to be a price that is paid. And he can't have anything to do with sin. And that's why Jesus Christ came. And he paid the price so that we can be cleansed through him. You see, the road to heaven, it is narrow. And not everyone is going to heaven. In the last part of verse 24, Jesus says, because many, I tell you, will try to enter and will not be able to. Jesus uses the word many. He says many will try, but they won't be able to. You see, this completely destroys the idea that all or even most of the people go to heaven. Jesus' words, they must have assaulted the ears of the listeners that were around him. See, many of the Jews, they will try to enter and they're not going to be able to. They heard this as he's talking to them. See, Jesus uses the word many and not just some, implying that a majority of those people who were gathered around and were listening to him, they were not going to be able to make it in. Now, there is a time limit on the offer of salvation. The Lord made it ominously clear. We start at verse 25 through 27. It says, once the owner of the house gets up and closes the door, you will stand outside knocking and pleading, sir, open the door for us. But he'll answer, I don't know you or where you come from. Then you will say, we ate and drank with you. You taught in our streets. And he will reply, I don't know you or where you came from. Away from me, all you evildoers. See, there is coming a day when the wonderful invitation of salvation will be over. Because there is a day when the Lord of the house is going to get up from the throne and walk to the front door of his mansion and close the narrow door of salvation forever. The only opportunities for salvation are in this life. Those who seek to enter late will be told by the Lord, I don't know you or where you come from. And they will be denied entrance. In other words, entry comes through the means that Jesus provides in this life. or not at all. You see, not everyone is going to get to go to heaven. And missing heaven, it will be eternal torment. The last few verses of our text this morning, it says, there will be weeping there, gnashing of teeth. When you see Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and all the prophets in the kingdom of God, but you yourselves thrown out. People will come from east and west and north and south, and they will take their places at the feast in the kingdom of God. Indeed, there are those who are last who will be first, and first who will be last. See, there will be an unending sorrow that cannot be described for everyone who misses out on the glories of heaven and instead spends an eternity in hell. You see, contrary to popular belief, there will be no sinful party with all of your other rowdy friends. Hell is no joy. Hell is being separated from God and wishing that you were not. Hell is not being in heaven and knowing that you could have been. Hell is the conscious torment of the knowledge of what could have been. It will be a place where people are fully aware of what they have lost, and they will be forever in despair. Missing heaven will be an eternal regret. See, this passage that we're going through this morning in Luke, it is tough, but it is also a warning that people need to be sure that they have responded to Jesus. The core issue will be in knowing Jesus and not just knowing about Jesus. Now, the original question, it was, will many be saved? And if we personalize it and bring it home today, it's probably more understood, will you be among the saved? The Gallup poll showed that most Americans expect to go to heaven. However, many of them hardly ever pray or read their Bible or attend church. They admit that they live to please themselves instead of God. And if you were to ask these people how they believe that they're going to go to heaven, they really do not know. They have no real idea of how they're going to do so. Let's apply that in life a little bit differently. You have a neighbor that comes up to you and says, hey, I'm going to go to Mars. And you ask that neighbor, well, how do you plan on getting there? And that neighbor replies, I don't know. I'll just get there. Well, what would you think? You would think, well, you'd better come up with some kind of plan or some kind of course of action or some kind of idea. If you actually want to get there and arrive, you have to have something in place, some plan. Darrell Box said that God does not save us through our activity, through heredity, or by proxy. God does not save people who merely want to be saved, attend church, or participate in church ministry. No. God saves sinners who cry out to Him for mercy. God saves people who have entered into a personal relationship with Him through faith and repentance. So have you entered the kingdom of God? Are you saved? You know, put your trust in Jesus Christ alone for the gift of eternal life. Turn from your sins. If you do this, you will be saved. It is about a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. Do we have that today? As the worship team comes up and leads us in a closing song, think about that. Do you have that personal relationship with Jesus Christ?